Albany, New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom. We had the Lord's Supper. We had Resurrection Sunday. We had an Attica State Penitentiary tour. We had our church's 40th anniversary service with Pastor Bill Dutry as our speaker. We had Mother's Day, Father's Day, Veterans Park Independence Day service. We had a men's retreat and the New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom banquet in Buffalo. We had a Bible conference. We call it Bearing Precious Seed. That was November 19th, 2017, the Mongolian Gospel of Mark going to Mongolia. We assembled 12,000 Gospels of Mark, if you remember. That was awesome. Reformers Unanimous. We had a regional conference in April. My wife and I had a chance to go to that. Every Friday night, we have our RU outreach to the community. I've been a part of the Erie County Task Force, the Buffalo Medical Group meetings. I could spend quite a bit of time talking about that. Had a chance to minister to four students from UB Medical School and the Christian Medical and Dental Association of Western New York, as well as talk with and plan with the chaplain of Attica State Penitentiary regarding RU. Our missions, we've had Cody Walker, Gary Sauer, Lou James, Dr. Orlando Berea. Now, I wouldn't call Dr. Berea a missionary, but he's the director of the Christian school at First Baptist in West Seneca. Steve Pendle has been here, Longview Camp. Josh Todd, church planner from Philadelphia. Craig Hartman from the Jewish Outreach. Yeah. We had Christian school planning meetings. We've had outreaches to Central Christian Academy. Melvin, Alicia, and I have gone there. West Seneca Christian Academy, I've been there to some open houses. New York State Association of Christian School meeting in Albany. New York Association of Christian School annual conference at North Star Christian Academy, where we had a chance to go again. Our mandate men's ministry this year, our meetings, men's prayer meeting every month, ladies connection, and Pinterest activities. Our children's ministry, we had our VBS, Paul and the Underground Church. That was a Roman theme, if you remember. Five evenings, July 30th through August 3rd. Total of 88 children participated in the five-day program. 48 volunteers helped. Planning meetings and so forth. Alicia Barinas is our new director of our children's ministries as of September. I had a chance to go to the Loving and Leading Conference in Milford, Ohio in November. And we've had Margarita got baptized. My daughter-in-law joined the church. Deacons meetings, financial meetings, bookkeeper meetings, church business meetings, financial review meetings, special workday projects, as well as pastoral commitments and ministries. I'm the director of the Reformers Unanimous here at our home church. I'm on the board of directors of the Lancaster Youth Bureau. I'm on the Lancaster Dubuque Substance Abuse Coalition. And you did not know this, some of you, but 2 days ago was the first anniversary of my good friend's passing of their oldest daughter, who was murdered in Kansas City. So my wife and I had a chance to minister to them on the phone 2 days ago, and that was sweet. That was really precious. And thank you for allowing me to go spend about a week there. I had Cindy come because I needed her desperately toward the last few weeks, especially during the funeral service and the wake. So why don't you open your Bibles, if you would, and we'll begin our message. Cindy, please. That's right. That's right. The ladies' connection, Mrs. Todd. Of course, the husband spoke here at the church during that time. What was her name again, Vicky? That was a blessing. Hope to have her back soon. Maybe an annual event. Turn your Bibles to actually two places. I want you to have Mark 7 in one hand and Matthew 17 in your other hand. This morning we were looking at the heart as the key to worship. And because this is our theme for the year, we began an overview last week about worship. Then last Sunday evening, We looked at the first mention of worship in Genesis chapter 22 with Abraham and Isaac. This morning, we basically looked at the heart, biblically. And then this evening, I want to look at the heart of worship and introduction. So if you have Mark 7, Matthew 15, I'm going to mess everybody up by reading Isaiah 29, one verse, and I'll pray. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Let's pray. Lord, perhaps there's no more important topic or principle we can discuss than the heart of man. We again saw this morning that the Bible mentions the heart over 975 times in various contexts. And there's much to be learned, there's much to understand, and there's a lot we need to learn about ourselves. But Lord, I pray that as we focus on this theme this year, we will be decent and in order. We will try to examine what the Bible clearly says about these areas. We'll try not to overbalance on one side to the neglect of another. We'll try to recognize how worship really is under the umbrella of everything we do. Because the Bible says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, to all to the glory of God. So we pray that you'd meet us where we are, that the Word of God and the Spirit of God would really minister to us. Examine us and search us, Lord, knowing that either by default or on purpose, we have places in our heart, places in our lives that might have police tape around it that says, do not enter. And Lord, we know that that's not how you'd want it to be. So guide and direct this evening in a special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 15. I'm going to focus on Matthew 15. And I will go back just a few verses in Mark 7 when I need it. I am not going to examine and look at every single word here for time's sake, and we will go over these principles all year long. But we'll let the Bible speak clearly. It says in Matthew 15, verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, whenever you see those two words, those two groups of people, you know for sure that trouble's a brewing. When the scribes and Pharisees are making their way toward Jesus, you know that there's a plan, there's a scheme, there's a political agenda going on. And please don't miss the fact that they're from Jerusalem. Jesus' ministry, most of his ministry was around Galilee. As you know, he was born and raised in Nazareth. And the religious leaders of Galilee were not the religious leaders of Jerusalem. Right? That would be like going from Lake George to New York City and dealing with the political leaders from both different perspectives. And they said, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? So this is confrontational at best, accusatory for sure, and implying and suggesting that all of Jesus' followers are sinning according to the law. Right? They're all sinners. For they, your disciples, wash not their hands when they eat bread. They almost sound like my mother and your mother, right? Did you wash your hands? Now, that is a good policy. Even so good that hospitals use it. Medical clinics use it. There's tremendous evidence to show that if we wash our hands, if we're good with hygiene, medically speaking, we can prevent incredible amounts of sicknesses and illnesses and so forth. However, when you're out hiking, camping, couldn't you see Dave, Big Dave, in front of a fire, an outdoor pit? You know, we've been fishing in one of the lakes up by Old Forge. This is a made-up story. And we bring in the fresh water fish, and we're slapping it down, and we're cutting it up, getting it ready. Dave's throwing it on the fry pan. You can smell it, can't you? Do you think he's going to ask me before we eat, did you wash your hands? Do you think a bunch of guys that are out in a camp somewhere really worry about their hands? Some do. They might even bring your hand sanitizer. I don't know. But they might not do it publicly in front of the guys. So here we have this issue. They don't wash their hands when they eat bread. Okay. Big deal. But it's a big deal. But he answered and said unto them, you don't want to get Jesus in one of these, you know, why do and what if that? So he says, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? So they're comparing Jesus' disciples to the tradition of the elders. Jesus takes this ante like way up there. You're violating the commandment of God. You're transgressing by your tradition God's commandments. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Meaning, the Old Testament. If you cursed your mother, your father, you went before the community and they took you out. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus, so Jesus is quoting now the rewording, the restating of how we're going to try to go along to get along. So we're going to rewrite the Constitution, so to speak, the Ten Commandments, to make it fit our lifestyle. Then Jesus says in verse 6, thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, we have, and I don't normally do this, I've only done it one time, when we played tradition, to get the point across, that tradition is not necessarily good, it's not necessarily bad, but if it is contrary to the scripture, then it's not necessarily that important. No matter where you might be, no matter what country you might be from, no matter what your nationality might be, biblical principle far out, it trumps tradition. Okay? Verse 7. Ye, what's that word? Jackson Brown had a song way back called Pretender. That's what a hypocrite is. It's a pretender. It's an actor or an actress. It's somebody who's putting on so that they're not real. They're not genuine. It's scripted. They're hypocrites. Well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying. And what did Isaiah say? Exactly what I read to you in Isaiah 29:13. So Jesus is going to quote Isaiah, which I just read. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is where? Their heart is far from me. Okay, now this is maybe the most important, imperative, foundational, fundamental thing that we could ever talk about. Because we are prone to say the right thing, but we're not necessarily prone to do the right thing. Let me say it another way. We are experts at finding out or observing or picking out your problem. But it's really, really, really difficult for us to see our own. That's part of the manufactured defect that we all have. We can pick up and pick out and pick apart other people's sayings, behaviors, and lifestyles. But when it comes to our own, not so much. As I've said before, when you play a football game, you play with your helmet on. So you can only see the game from your helmet. But there's 10 other players on your team that are watching the same game through their helmets. So there's 10 other perspectives. There's 11 other perspectives on the other side of the line. Plus you have your coaches, your teammates, the coaches in the boxes, and all the video cameras and all the... So the game is not just from your perspective. And yet, I don't know about you, but I don't really enjoy getting blindsided phone calls or blindsided letters. I used to get a lot of blindsided letters. Pastor, you know what's wrong with you? Now, there's got to be a grain of, maybe more than a grain of truth. There's got to be truth in there. So therefore, you can learn a lot about yourself, but these guys weren't, as we all are, not very prone to getting constructive criticism. So Jesus is pointing out not only their problem, but our problem as well. We're good professors. We're good talkers. We're not so good livers. Back in the day when they had anti-cigarette commercials on TV, they would always have a dad with a cigarette, you know, back here somewhere. Now, don't you smoke! You hear me? You know what that means, right? Do as I say, but don't do as I do. Verse 9. But in vain they do worship me. Now, stop for a minute. He uses the word me. They don't worship him. When have they ever worshiped him? The me there means Jesus, but the me there is much bigger than Jesus. Jesus is referring to the Godhead, who he's representing. He's representing the Father. They worship me in vain, teaching for doctrines, truth, the commandments of men. Now, isn't that maybe the most important verse in this set here? In vain they worship me, teaching for truth, for doctrines, the commandments of men. And that's what we have to be so careful about. We want to be successful. We want to serve the Lord. We want to honor God. We want to be spiritual. We want to help other people. And little do we realize we need more help than anyone we're trying to help. Because the closer we get to God, the more we realize how needy we really are. And as I've said before, there are those doctrines that float out there. I call them doctrines of men, like the doctrine of the nursery. What's the doctrine of the nursery? The doctrine of the nursery is your spirituality is dependent upon how you feed your children. Whether you, or how you discipline your children, or whether you homeschool your children, or what. And so we have the doctrine of the nursery, we have the doctrine of school, we have the doctrine of, and you come up with your list of how we as men or ladies will judge other people in the church depending upon what you do and what you don't do. Oh, you're more spiritual if you immunize or if you don't immunize. You're more spiritual if you use paper or, I was going to say vinyl diapers, throwaway diapers versus cloth diapers. And the list goes on and on and on. Now, I'm not trying to be funny, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but I've been a Christian now for 34 years, and I've seen a lot, and so have you. How we major on the minors, and we miss the majors. Verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Now, if we go back to Mark chapter 7, if you'd go back there just 1 minute there, in Mark chapter number 7, look at verse number 2. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Verse number 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? I'm not suggesting that he's picking on the disciples. But he's clearly mentioning the fact that the disciples are there listening. Look at verse 17 of Mark chapter 7. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So in Matthew chapter number 15, it says the multitude, and yes, surely now there's a multitude. So the scribes and Pharisees are always trying to put Jesus in a compromising, embarrassing situation. The disciples are going to ask Jesus about the parable. Well, what does this mean? So Jesus is going to do some teaching in front of the multitude as well as teaching his disciples. Matthew 15, verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defile a man. Whether you eat or drink, those are the things that go into our mouth. But that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? We will learn, and you should learn also, that not everybody that comes to you with sugar and spice and everything nice has your best interest at heart. There are mean people. There are people with evil agendas. There are people that pepper you with questions that want to find out, because in the world, information is power. I was just reading this morning as Solomon just passed away and his son Rehoboam is now in charge of Israel. Jeroboam, I don't know why in the world they got him so close in names, but Jeroboam has just been addressed by a prophet. And this particular prophet says to Jeroboam, who's ruling Israel in 334 years, a child will be born in Israel whose name is Josiah. And he will tear down every high place in Israel. And God said to the prophet, do not go with him. Avoid him. So the prophet did exactly what God said. Then an old prophet found out about this conversation through his son. So this old prophet goes to this man of God and says, I want you to come to my house. He says, nope, I can't. I can't. God said, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. So the old prophet said, oh, I had a visitation from an angel. And he said, so he goes through this spiel. And then the last part of the verse says, and he lied. So an old prophet lied to the man of God. You know what it cost the man of God because he disobeyed that one time? He got killed by a lion. He got massacred. Dan, would you do me a favor? There's somebody out there with some really hot Picasso pizza. So, what am I trying to say? Even people under the umbrella of Christianity might not have your best interest at heart. I'd like to look at Mark now, if you would. No, I'm going to save Mark for Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. Matthew 15, 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. He's talking to his disciples in reference to the scribes and Pharisees. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now that verse is not found in the book of Mark. Let the blind lead the blind. Verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. So Peter directly says, Lord, could you please explain this to us? And then Jesus explains, but what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at the explanation from Mark, and then I'll have one verse in Matthew and we'll be done. Mark chapter 7. As this story is told from Mark's perspective, I want you to understand that the scribes and Pharisees are worried about washing of hands. Jesus says, in reference to Isaiah 29, he says, Mark 7:21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. You can see that not only in our lifetime, but just read the book of Proverbs. Just read the book of Proverbs. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Where do these come from? The heart of man. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. That's quite a list. Where do all those come from? The heart. Now, you wouldn't get much traction by going on some talk show with these as the solution to some of our social problems. But it comes out of our heart. Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Matthew 15, verse 20. And I'll be done. Matthew 15, verse 20. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So as we look at our theme this year, everything that we say, we do, we think, every opinion we have comes from where? Comes from our heart. Comes from our heart.